we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. It's Friday. We've made it to another week, and looking forward to the weekend. Amen. Glad that you have tuned in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God on Grove Street in Merritt Island, and we are so thankful to be able to bring this broadcast to you today, and thank you for tuning in. It is good to know that there are believers that are growing in their faith and making a difference for the kingdom of God. So one of the reasons that we can bring this broadcast to you is because of a family at our church, and they have a business called Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They do concrete and block work, and if they can be of any assistance to you, actually, this family predates me. I've been there for 23 years, and they were at Merritt Assembly of God when I got there. And so they're very committed, very faithful people, and we're just thankful for their partnership. And if they can be a blessing to you and helping you to accomplish anything around your home or business, they do both business and residential, business and residential, or residential and commercial, however you want to say it. They can help you with either one of those things. So give them a call, 536-5804. A young man by the name of Greg should answer the phone. If you talk to him, tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and that will be a blessing. So we do want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our worship services this weekend. Sunday school at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:30. I'm going to continue my series on spiritual warfare. It's not like any, I mean, I've taught on spiritual warfare before, but this is not like anything I've taught on it before. And so if you're sick and tired of experiencing defeat at the hand of the enemy, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're ready to take your spiritual growth and your spiritual responsibility to the next level, we encourage you to come and be a part of our worship service this coming Sunday morning at 10:30. Then we're going to have our worship service Sunday night at 6:30. Come be a part of those wherever you can. We just have a wonderful group of people, and so we would love for you to come and be a part of that. So today I want to take you to Genesis, the 25th chapter. Genesis, the 25th chapter. We spent yesterday talking about Keturah and how her name meant perfumed one. And by the way, we want you to smell good. My wife likes it when I smell good. I can count on at Christmas time every year that whatever cologne that I get, it will be a cologne that my wife or my daughter said, "Dad, we like it when you smell like this. We would rather you smell pleasant than unpleasant." And so, like I said yesterday, nothing wrong with being perfumed, but let's be people of the Spirit, where we are attracted by the things of the Spirit. Let's be people who offer up praise and worship to God, because I want God not to be attracted to just my problem. I want Him to be attracted to me as His child. I want Him to be attracted to me as a worshiper. I want Him to be attracted to me as a person of the Word, as a person who is involved in His work and in His business. And so that was basically the point of yesterday's broadcast, is let's make sure that what we are attracted to are the things of the Spirit, and also let's be people who do what is pleasing and acceptable and attractive in God's sight. So let me go back to Genesis chapter 25, because after it talks about Keturah, there in just one verse, then it goes on to talk about her kids. It says, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letushim, and Leumim, and the sons of Midian were Ephah, Ephir, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. Now listen to this. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael were buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. So that's where we're going to stop reading there today. So I would like to move on today to begin to discuss the three different types of relationships that Abraham had with his kids, because there were three distinct relationships. Now, I will talk about these, and I'm going to mention them to you in order of priority, and then I'm going to discuss them here on the program in reverse order. First of all, there was Isaac. Isaac was the child of the promise, and he was the child of the covenant. And so there was covenant dealings with Isaac. Ishmael, God said that Ishmael would be blessed because Abraham had asked him to bless Ishmael. And God said, because you have asked, Ishmael shall live under my blessing. But my covenant will be with Isaac. So there's covenant relationship, and underneath that, an inferior level of relationship is a life of blessing. Now, I want you to know that part of the covenant is being blessed, but you can be blessed and not be walking in covenant. And so there's Ishmael. He represents blessing. But then there are all of these other kids that Keturah had born. And so let me share with you what is going on here. It says, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan and the sons of Dedan, and it goes on from there. And so there's all of these kids. And it does not mention that they are walking in covenant, nor does it say that God had even at that point in time decreed that he would bless them, even though they were descendants of Abraham. Listen to what Abraham does for them. This is something less than blessing. It says, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. So Isaac was given everything that he had. And it said, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. And so I refer to these kids as the gifted. They received gifts, but those giftings did not necessarily mean that they were walking in blessing. And those giftings did not necessarily mean that they were walking in covenant. And so let's talk about these. We're going to talk about some of these kids in particular. But first of all, I want you to know that you can be naturally gifted or talented, but not be blessed or walking in covenant with God. Just because someone is an American does not mean that they are walking in covenant with God. Just because someone is beautiful or famous or rich or athletic does not mean that they are walking blessed and in covenant with God. It can mean that they have just been naturally bestowed with gifts. They're what I call the gifted. And so thank God for giftings. Every one of us that is alive, we all have our unique giftings from God. But what we are looking for as children of God is we're not looking for our natural giftings. We are looking for our supernatural giftings. We are looking for the gifts of the Spirit that God wants to bestow upon us. We're looking for the things that He is going to take us and make us. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now, they were naturally fishers. They were naturally fishermen. They knew what the waters, how to navigate the waters. They knew how to catch fish. It was the family business. They knew how to take care of their boats and take care of their nets. But he said, if you will follow me, I'm going to make you into something that you have never been before. I'm going to equip you to do things that you have never done before. I will transform you. And so today, I believe that everybody has a different personality. Everybody has a different strength set. They have a different hobby. They have different passions. But today, what we are wanting is not to settle for what our natural giftings are, but to believe God for His blessing, and most of all, that we would be people who are faithful and walk in covenant with God. On Wednesday this, or no, not Wednesday, on Tuesday this this last week, we're in our 30 days of prayer. We would love for you to be a part of that, and you don't have to pray in our sanctuary to be part of that. You can seek the face of God wherever you're at, call upon the name of the Lord. But we are praying that over this period of time leading up to Easter, that God would do supernatural things, that He would build His kingdom here in Brevard County. And so we were praying, and it was very dark when we started. I got there at 5:30, pitch black. And as we continued to pray and it got closer and closer to 7 o'clock, I walk back and forth, because if I try and pray that early of a morning, in one static position, I'm going to begin to make noises from my mouth, and they're not going to be words that are uttered in prayer. I'm probably going to start snoring. So, especially at that time of day, I try and be very animated in my prayer time, and I'm walking back and forth. Most of the time I have my eyes closed, unless I think I'm getting close to a wall or a pew or something like that, or a chair, or altar. And so I opened up my eyes, and I saw the it wasn't sunrise. You couldn't see the sun yet, but you could see that the light was pushing back the darkness. And all of a sudden there was something that arose in my spirit, and I cried out, you know, with the men there, that God has once again demonstrated that He is faithful to His covenant. He is faithful. He has kept His covenant with the Son, and that means that He is going to keep His covenant with us. We want to be people who walk in covenant. These kids of Keturah, they had received no supernatural blessing. They were just walking in whatever had come their way. Some people have natural beauty, but the scripture says that beauty in a person of that lacks discretion, that it is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. And so just because you are beautiful does not mean that things are necessarily going to go well with you. I've had conversations with people who had been in some third world countries, and people of just astounding, amazing physical beauty and attributes, they end up getting shackled into some of the worst living conditions and in some of the worst strongholds of sin that you could ever imagine, all because of natural giftings. Now, I think that we should use what we have. I believe that we should commit that into God's hand. But I do not want to limit God by my natural giftings. I don't want to limit God by my natural mind or my natural limitations. I've said, if my finite mind can understand everything there is to know about an infinite God, then that God is too small, because my finite mind cannot grasp everything there is to grasp about the infinite. And so I am perfectly comfortable saying I do not know how the process that God used, or what the process was that God used to bring this about, but I know that God did. To God be the glory. So there is a trust factor that I have in God that is beyond my natural ability to study. It's beyond my natural ability to pray. It's just that I have come to know that He is more supernatural and more qualified and more holy than what I can comprehend. So today I want you to know that you can be gifted musically, you can be gifted athletically, you can be gifted intellectually. You can be gifted in your physical appearance. You can be gifted financially or occupationally. You can be gifted in a lot of different areas, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have reached your limit. It is just the unique way that God crafted you. You are a masterpiece of God. And he bestows gifts upon us, and even the supernatural gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, He bestows upon each one individually, severally, as He wills. You and I are uniquely gifted. So let's embrace those gifts. Let's thank God for those gifts. But let's not settle for just operating. Especially, you know, this weekend, let's not settle for operating with our unique giftedness. I spend a lot of time around some kids. I try and help them with their homework assignment one or two days a week. And sometimes one of them will say something like, you know, I just can't do this. I just can't do this. I don't like it when adults sow seeds of discouragement into kids' lives. I don't like it when kids are told that they're dumb. I don't like it when they're told that they're stupid. I don't like to put any limitations on them. The truth of the matter is that God can empower us to grasp any concept. You and I, there's a challenge that God has got stirring inside of me. I don't know exactly what's going to become of that yet. But through the technology that is available on the internet and all of the different websites that are out there, video tutorials, things that you can learn anything. You can master any skill. I told my kids when they were going to school that there is, if you have a bad teacher, a teacher who is more interested in just getting the information out there rather than you getting hold of the information, that is still no excuse for you and I not learning, because there are so many resources that are available. Go out there and find the resources you need so that you can educate yourself enough that you can pass the test. Okay. And so you may be isolated, you may be a shut-in, you might not be able to get out and go to church, but through the radio, through television, through CDs or downloads off the internet, you can still grow in your faith, grow in the Word of God. But, you know, if you have opportunity, you need to avail yourself of that local church, because the church is God's gift to a community. The church is God's gift to a community. Merritt Assembly of God is a gift to Merritt Island. And you know, sometimes there are people that say, if your church ceased to exist, would the community notice it? Would there be a vacuum created? And in our case, I believe that answer is yes. It would create a bit of a void on a global scale. It would create a bit of a void when it comes to our children's ministry and what we reach out and make a difference. One of my favorite things that has ever happened to me as a pastor was one Sunday night. I showed up at church. I show up several hours early to begin to get ready for the evening service. And I saw a vehicle pull up into the parking lot. And So the person got out and walked around, and so I ran out to see who they were, because they weren't one of the people just turning around in our parking lot. They were there for a reason, and a sailor got out, a female sailor, and she was in town. She was actually in Melbourne visiting her family, and she got out of the vehicle and she said, "Pastor Bob, you and Merit Assembly of God made such a difference in our lives when we were going to school." And that would have been, you know, elementary, middle school, and maybe just a touch into high school before they moved away. Said, "You made such a difference that when I was home here on leave, I just wanted to come by and remind myself once again of what a difference that you've made in my life." And that was one of my favorite moments of being a pastor ever. To know, because, you know, a construction person, at the end of the day, they can look around and they can see boards that have been nailed together and projects. If you're working on a car and you can see that either you have taken parts off or replaced them in the car and how it runs. Every job has some degree of instant gratification. But when you are dealing with the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, it may take decades before you realize whether the work, the effort that you put in, made any difference in a person's life or not. And so today, I just want to encourage you, go on this journey to allow God to make you more than what your natural giftings are. I've said this before, I'll say it again, I appreciate the unique personalities that we have and how God equips us each individually. And we want people to be well fit into ministry at Merit Assembly of God. And so there are some giftings tests that you can do and we've done and try and help you to find what may be, and let me emphasize this, what may be a good fit for you in ministry. But I look upon those spiritual giftings test with a bit of a caveat, and that is this: God can equip you to do more than your natural gifting set. And so I don't want to limit you. I know evangelists who operate in the healing ministry and their natural giftings was working on the building and working on plumbing. I know people who are naturally mechanics, but supernaturally they're soul winners. They're teachers. And so please do not limit yourself to just whatever natural giftings you have, but allow God, say, "God, is there something that you would like to bless me with beyond my natural giftings? Is there something that you would like to develop in me as we walk in covenant together?" Well, let me get to one of these kids here. The first one that is mentioned is a person by the name of Zimran, Zimran. And that word means musical. That word means musical. Musical giftedness is attractive and entertaining. There's a reason why most of the radio stations have music that is played on them. There is a reason why they are no longer silent movies. And listen, it is not because of the words. A lot of times the words and the scenes are impacted because of the music that is played behind it. I was talking with a friend of my daughter's the other day, and she said, you know, she wanted to go into music education. And I said, "Well, what instruments do you play?" And I said, "I can play a radio. I can play a CD player. And some of those have to be kind of low tech." And she said, "Yeah, I've heard things like that before." Musical giftedness is something I'm looking forward to being able to play things. You see, I've tried to play the piano. I've tried to play the guitar. I don't have the rhythm at all to play the drums naturally. One of the people that I greatly appreciate was Andre Crouch, because from what I had been told, Andre Crouch, his dad was a pastor, and they needed a musician in the church. And so Andre prayed and said, God, would you make me a musician? And he became just an absolutely marvelous musician. Now, musical giftedness, you've got to be careful because it can be a trap. Lucifer, that was, he was a heaven's worship leader before he fell. Music ministry, you've got to be careful because a lot of times the devil will take a gift that God has given you and try to get you to use that for his purposes. It grieves me. It breaks my heart when I hear of people who have been raised in the church and their musical gifts developed in the church, and then they're out there singing ungodly stuff, immoral stuff, and the world is just telling them how great and how wonderful they are, and all of their time their gift was meant for so much more. Musical giftedness without covenant with God and the corresponding lifestyle of holiness has created problems for churches on a great number of occasions. Now, here's one of the things that I wanted to share. In some churches, they prefer gifted musicians to saved ones. They would rather have a musician that can play an instrument like nobody's business than they would have somebody who's maybe not as talented but is in a vibrant relationship with Jesus. Listen, how can you lead someone into the presence of God if you do not know God yourself? And so we want our worship leader, and you know, we've got Heidi Andrijk. She's been leading worship with us for a number of years now. And I want my worship leader to believe that worship is the most important part of the service, where we enter into his courts with thanksgiving. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I want people who will worship him because he's enthroned on the praises of his people. But let me tell you, musical giftedness cannot replace anointed, saved worshipers of God who know him and that he is holy and worthy to be praised. Proverbs 18:16 says this: a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I think if you are musically talented, there's always going to be room for you in the body of Christ. We appreciate you, but our number one thing is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, we need to introduce you to him so he can take that gift to a whole new level. Look, we want your gift to bring you before a great God, not just before great men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have placed inside of us, but God, let those gifts be a fruit of our relationship with you. May we use them for your glory this weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is I need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart.
don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?